This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of his love over all other loves. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In our final sessions on In His Footsteps, we were going over the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his final khutbah, he said that I'm going to leave behind me something that if you hold on to it, you won't go astray. You'll be on track. You'll be okay as long as you hold on to it. And in some hadith, he said, there's two things I'm going to leave you. In some hadith, he said, there's one thing I'm going to leave you. But both of those hadith, what he said he would leave us was the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah. And the idea he was teaching us is that if you hold on to the book of Allah, if you study the book of Allah, you hold on to it, you have a love for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you won't go astray. You'll always be on track. And so after concluding In His Footsteps, I had this desire. I just felt like we all need to get closer to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend time just learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about the meanings of the Quran, connecting on a deeper level to it. And there's a hadith I want to begin tonight with, because this hadith can set our intention for all of the sessions for our study of Suratul Hadid, or Forged, which is kind of epic low-key, but whatever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no group gathers together in a house from the houses of Allah, a masjid, يتلون كتاب الله, reciting the book of Allah, وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ, studying, talking about it, reflecting on the book of Allah. إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, except that when they do that, sakina comes down. Tranquility comes to that gathering. Tranquility comes to that gathering. إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشْيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and they're all covered with God's mercy. As the hadith we've read many times, the hadith tells us that the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the angels go back and forth talking to Allah. What's happening in that gathering? Ya Allah, they're studying your Quran. They're asking for your mercy, all of these things. And then the Allah says, be my witness that all of them are forgiven. And the angels go, but ya Allah, there's one of them that's there. They didn't even really want to be there. They just came through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person is forgiven too. Why? Hum julasa la yashqa jilisuhum. These are such blessed gatherings that just being in the gathering of where the Quran is being recited, talked about, reflected on, is a source of mercy. Wa hafathum al malaika. And these are gatherings in which the angels surround these gatherings because of the blessed task that we are doing. So the purpose of this session is to connect to the meaning of Allah, to reflect on the book of Allah and get lost in the meaning of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this Quran was revealed, kitaban anzalna ilayk. This is a book that we revealed to you, O Muhammad, mubarakun. It's blessed. Liyadabbaru ayati, so that you reflect on it. So this is heavy, because tadabbar is the main function we should be doing with the Quran. And tadabbur means just to reflect on what the meaning means. to go over the translation of it, understand what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and reflect on that. Ibn Abbas, he used to say, for me to recite إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا or قَارِيَةً, these short surahs that many of us know since we were children, these short surahs, he says, for me to recite one of these small surahs and reflect on it is more beloved than to recite the entire Surah Al-Baqarah. That's heavy, because a lot of us, when we come to the Quran, we're like, I don't know a lot of it. I'm like, it don't matter how much you know some of it. And it doesn't matter how much, if you realize this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you realize these are Allah's words, it doesn't matter how much. Ibn Abbas, in this narration, he's saying, it could be إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And this is why some of the early generation, they would spend the whole night reciting one single verse, because they would stand in prayer and they would recite it and they would be thinking about what it means, and they would just be reflecting on the beauty of it and their connection to it, and they would spend the whole night reciting one verse. So it's not about how much. Over the next 8 weeks or so, as we do this surah, it's about connecting to one verse that you walk away and you're like, that's my verse. I hear Allah in that verse. That's my verse right there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a deep understanding of His book. May He give all of us that connection with the kalam of Allah, the connection with Surah Al-Hadid. So let's talk about this surah. My wife asked me, she said, I gotta be careful because she's actually here today, so I'm gonna behave. She asked me, she said, why you choose this surah? I was like, I don't know, I love it. She's like, nah, you can't say that. It needs to be more. And you know why I love Surah Al-Hadid? Surah Al-Hadid is a surah that was revealed in Medina. So what we understand is that there are some surahs revealed in Mecca, some surahs revealed in Medina. And the surahs revealed in Mecca, they were all about building up strength of iman. They were about making us strong, ready to deal with the difficulties that being a Muslim would bring. And most of the stuff in Medina is about rulings and how to behave and how to carry ourselves and how to conduct ourselves, so on and so forth, but not Hadid. Hadid comes as a Madani surah with a Meccan flavor because it's heavy. It's heavy because Surah Hadid, from Surah Hadid to Surah Tahrim, there's 10 surahs. And these are 10 surahs that are all from Medina period. All from Medina period. And this section of the Quran is the most collected place of Medina surahs back to back, even though it's one of the shortest. And all of them serve as a wake-up call. And the reason why Hadid was revealed, this is why Hadid was revealed. It was about 5 years after Hijrah, where Islam started to spread now. A lot of the hard grinding of the early days of Mecca, gone. A lot of the hard grinding of the early days of Medina, gone. It started to get a little easier. And so when it started to get a little easier, people started to let up a little bit. They started to take it easy a little bit. That grind mentality is like, we could chill a little bit. Why? Because there's all these new Muslims coming in. We grind it for 10 years. Let the youngins pick up slack. So what happened at this time when these 10 surahs were revealed, this was a time when everyone started to relax a little bit. The feeling for jihad had come down. Oh, they could go out and fight. The feeling for spending in the path of Allah went down. The love of dunya started to creep back up. In fact, there's a beautiful narration in Abu Dawood that really beautifully puts this together. Uqbat ibn Amr, he narrates this moment. And this is after the Prophet passed away. It was during the conquest of Constantinople. And Abu Ayyub, he's a great sahabi, he's a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's present. And they're fighting. It's jihad, they're fighting. And there's this one Muslim who just picks up his sword and he runs into the thick of the battle. And there's some younger people there, they're looking at him and they're like, man, this guy's crazy. Has he not read the Quran? The Quran says, وَلَا تُلْكُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى تَهْلُكَ. The Quran says, don't throw yourself into destruction. Don't throw yourself into destruction. Why is he doing that? Abu Ayyub was present. Abu Ayyub has been around for so long. He said, hold up. I lived when this verse was revealed. Can I tell you what this verse is about? They said, please tell us. He said, Ayyuhan Nas. He said, listen up, everyone. You guys are saying this verse, but you don't realize what this verse is about. This verse was revealed when Allah started to give us strength. And the OGs that had been Muslim for a long time, we started to relax. We started to chill. We started to say, you know what? We don't got to go out all the time. Let the youngins come in and struggle. We don't got to give so much sadaqah. Let other people come in and give sadaqah. And that was when Allah revealed the verse, do not throw yourself into destruction. What does it mean? The path of struggle was the thing keeping you on track. Once you stop grinding, that's the path of destruction. And so the idea behind these surahs, all of them are wake-up calls. Throughout all of these surahs, it's malakum, what's wrong with you? Wake up. Alam ya'ni lilladhina amanu. Isn't it time? Wake up. All of these surahs are serving as a wake-up call for the believers that already believed but started to relax, started to take it easy. And so that's why I want to study this surah. It's a beautiful surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that the struggle is the way to Allah. And you got to keep grinding no matter what. You got to keep grinding. And so long that you keep grinding, you'll keep getting closer to Allah. But the moment you lay back and you start chilling, the Quran says, وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't throw yourself into destruction by stopping the grind. So these 10 surahs are special. Every night before the Prophet would go to sleep, he would recite 5 surahs. They're called the Musabbihat. All of them begin with the phrase Sabbaha. And I'm going to talk about this in detail. Every night he would recite these surahs, 5 of them. The first of which is Surah Hadid, which means iron. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would recite this every night because it's a wake-up call. And as we go through this surah over the next, 5 to 8 weeks, you'll realize how powerful this surah actually is and the message that it has for us. Let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Before we start reading Quran, we always start with A'udhu billah. We always start with A'udhu billah, which means I seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. And the idea is I want to come to the Quran with a clean heart. I don't want the noise, because the noise from my day, the noise from my boss, the noise from, what's her name in HR again? Yeah, Becky, exactly. All that noise, I can't bring that to the Quran. I can't bring that to the book of Allah. So before we begin, إِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you come to this book, you need to clean the slate. So don't just run up to it, open it up, start reading. The Prophet taught us, start off, A'udhu Billah. Let me seek refuge. Let me get rid of everything else. Because the reality is the Quran will only bring out what's inside of you. If you have perversions, you'll see that in here and you'll justify it through this. If you have sicknesses in your heart, you'll justify them through this. يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. This guides many people and misguides many people. So you bring a clean heart. We start off by saying, A'udhu billahi minashaytanir rajim. And then we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah. They say the whole Quran, the message of it, can come back to Surah Fatiha. Like the whole Quran, if you had to tell one person, you walk in by a person on the street, you meet him, hey, what's your name? My name's Josh. How you doing? What's going on? He's like, yo, I heard about that Quran. Can you summarize it for me? What do you tell him? 5 pillars? Nah, bruh. Fatiha. Fatiha, that's the summary. But the scholars, they say the summary of Fatiha is in Bismillah. Because the believer does everything through Bismillah. Everything through Bismillah. You go into the gym? Where's my gym bros? Bismillah. You go into work? Bismillah. You walk into your house? Bismillah. Bismillah means I seek the help of Allah in whatever action I'm doing. I need the help of Allah. So I'm opening this book for guidance. And I won't find guidance unless I have Allah's help. So we begin everything by saying Bismillah. My teacher used to say, if you don't know any other dhikr, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la lahul mulku, you know what I mean? They get long. If you don't know any other dhikr, the one way you could get close to Allah is just use Bismillah all the time. Bismillah, 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 Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let's begin, inshallah. قال الله تعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى he says سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم سبح everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala سبح لله the word سبح in Arabic it means when you declare something is free from any fault or evil when you say like anything evil or bad that people attribute to God Subhanallah. You say Subhanallah. What does that mean? He's distant from it. The word sabbaha in Arabic actually means to go beyond. So what you're saying is Allah is far from everything they ascribe to God. Every hardship, every difficulty, every evil, all of these things, sabbaha lillah. Allah is free from all of these things that are attributed to him. Sabbaha lillah. Glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifies Allah everything. The Quran says, Ma fi samawat. It says everything. Now this is deep, you know, because it doesn't say everyone in the heavens and the earth. There are some verses that say everyone in the heaven and earth glorifies Allah, but this verse doesn't say that. It says everything. You know what the scholars, they say? They say that everything that God has created is glorifying Allah in some fashion or some form. Everything, every particle of matter, every rock, every tree, everything that exists is at some level glorifying Allah. And that's profound because they say there's two ways it glorifies Allah. It's either itself glorifying Allah or it leads you to Allah and you glorify Allah. You see the mountains, you're looking at them. There's my man, Muaz, we've been missing you, bro. You see those mountains, you're looking at them. And the moment you see them, you say, Subhanallah. The one who created this, the one who made this beautiful thing. You say, Subhanallah. Everything is doing indication back to Allah. So this is powerful because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us that everything around us is glorifying Allah. You know how that connects to me? Am I in unison with everything that God has created? Am I the only one not glorifying Allah? I'm walking around the school, I'm walking outside, there's trees, there's grass, there's pavement, there's rocks, there's all of this creation of God. And Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِي وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ Beautiful verse. Allah says, there is nothing that exists except that it's glorifying Allah. But you just don't understand how it glorifies Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr Ghaffari, he says that one time I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were in a halqa. We were sitting in a circle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had pebbles in his hand. وَفِي يَدِهِ حَصَى And he says, فَسَبَّحْنَا فِي يَدِي We heard the pebbles in his hand start to glorify Allah. We heard the subhanallah coming from the rocks. I wrote this in with the heart in mind. The miracle is not that the rocks glorify, because the rocks always glorify. The miracle is in this moment we were able to hear it. So what's beautiful to me as a believer is I'm being reminded that everything is already praising Allah. Are you going to get in where you fit in? Are you going to be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment conscious of Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has these rocks in his hands and they begin to glorify. Abu Dharr Ghaffari, he's like, I'm watching this. He says, and the Prophet ﷺ took him and he went to his right and he put him in the hand of Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr holds him in his hand and they're glorifying Allah in his hand. Abu Dharr is like, we're all there. We're all listening to this miracle right in front of us. He passes them to Umar. He passes them to Uthman. He passes them to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. فَسَمِعَ تَسْبِيعَهُنَّ مَنْ فِي حَلَقَ They said, the whole halaqa, we heard these rocks glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything around us glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings another level to your spirituality, y'all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, he said, لَا يَسْمَعُ سَوْتُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ جِنْ وَلَا إِنْسِ وَلَا شَجْرِ وَلَا حَجَرِ No jinn, no person, no rock. No anything hears the adhan, except on the day of judgment, that thing will glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I heard this person call the adhan. I heard this person call the Adhan. Like the believer is walking around with another level of consciousness. Let me make this, yo. When I first converted, like, and I found out about like angels and jinn and shayateen, I felt like a whole nother portal of reality had been opened up to me that people were sleeping on, ghafil, unaware of. You feel me, David? That's my guy. Like you're walking around and everyone's just in their world going here and there. And I'm like, yo, there's two angels on this dude's back right there, yo. You know, I would see a car driving past. We're in the hood, like beating the music. And I'm like, man, I can see the shaitans right behind him, yo. I felt like I could see it. I felt like I was on another level of operation. Like I'm seeing things on a whole nother thing. And here this verse is telling us everything is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this the water molecules inside here are glorifying Allah. But the Quran says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You just don't understand how it glorifies. You're just not on the wavelength to be able to hear that level of glorification of God, but it's all doing it. That's profound. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that مَا مِنْ صَبَاحٍ وَلَا رَوَاحٍ. Every morning and evening, the places of the earth, they call to one another. Like the places of the earth call to one another. And they say, Ya Jara, Ya Jara, has anyone walked on you and glorified you today? Because somebody glorified Allah. Has anyone walked on you and glorified Allah today? Meaning they boast to each other whether or not they witnessed our glorification of Allah or not. So why is this so heavy? The beauty is the Prophet says when the believer dies, the earth cries. Because the earth misses the dhikr that believer used to do walking on it. I had a teacher, he used to say, when you take a flight, you should do a lot of dhikr. You know why, right? Because that space where you're flying through, in that moment of time, maybe nobody ever said a subhanallah at that particular spot, and that spot's gonna testify only for you on the day of judgment. Only for you. Only for you. That spot in time and space right there is glorifying for you. Ya Allah, on this day, Haytham said subhanallah on me. And nobody ever said subhanallah. No one ever said that on me, because that plane route, how many people fly it, yo? This is a level, this idea that everything, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know why else I like this? Because the believer remembering Allah amongst those who don't remember Allah is very hard. When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're in an environment where nobody's remembering Allah, it's hard to remember Allah. But when you remember, hold up, everything around me is remembering Allah. These trees, as the wind blows, the leaves are glorifying Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَذَّاكِرُ اللَّهِ فِي الْغَافِلِينَ. The one who remembers Allah amongst those who are heedless are like those who are fighting in a battle while everyone else is running away. It can be hard to be a remember of Allah when it feels like everyone around you is not. But when we look around and we look at the trees and we look at the stones and we look at the birds and we look at everything around, there's this realization that I'm in line with everything else because I'm remembering my creator like all of these rest of this creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Sabbaha lillah, everything. So I told y'all, the word sabbaha is to say Allah is far from, free from every fault, every deficiency. So I had a teacher, he used to say, I need y'all to stick with me, I'm gonna go a little deeper. The word hamd, when you say alhamdulillah, you're attributing all good to Allah, right? Something happens, you say alhamdulillah, you're attributing all good to Allah. And when you say subhanallah, you're disassociating all negative and bad from Allah. Subhanallah. I had a teacher, he was teaching us the hadith, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. He said, do you know what the effect of this saying these words is on you? When you say them, alhamdulillah, all good is for God, Allah puts beautiful qualities in within you. And when you say subhanAllah, freeing all negativity, all evil from God, Allah cleans you through that subhanAllah. Heavy, heavy, heavy. SubhanAllah, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. We come across these beautiful names of Allah. One of the best, one of the most special blessings that Allah has blessed us with through this deen is the Asma'ul Husna, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's hard for you to understand because you've known them for so long. But coming into Islam and you ask someone, who is Allah? What is Allah? And they say, oh, what is Allah? Let me teach you. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaim. You start to get a better picture, understanding of who Allah is. These names are not, they're not, they're to be learned, not just the Arabic, they're to be understood, and they're to be witnessed. Imam Ghazali says, with every name of Allah, there's three levels you have to work with. He says, the lowest level is just to know what it means. Today we're looking at the word Aziz. Aziz means the Almighty. We'll talk about it in a minute. He says the first level is just to know the name. He says the second level is to call upon Allah through that name. To call on Al-Aziz. He says the next level is for certain names to bring the quality of God within you. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What are you though? Are you working on that within yourself? These names of Allah are the key to knowing who Allah is. And it's beautiful because in this particular verse, Allah combines two names, Al-Azizu Al-Hakim. What is Aziz? Aziz is Almighty. In 90% of the Quran where the word Aziz comes, it always comes with a quality of beauty. It always comes with a quality of the all-wise, the all-knower, the merciful, the forgiving, the generous. Wherever the word Aziz, the mighty, comes, 90% of the Quran, it always comes with a quality that, in our mind, balances out that Aziz. He's not just Aziz, almighty. He's Hakim, all-wise. He's not just Aziz, but with that, he's most merciful. There's only a few places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's Aziz and Qawi. Aziz, almighty and strong, almighty and powerful. One of the scholars, they highlighted the beauty of this is that we realize that one attribute is always accompanied with the other attribute. And we have to see them together at the same time. He's not just almighty, he's all wise. Let's look at this word Aziz though. We have to connect to them. We have to understand. We have to interact with these words. What does Aziz mean? It means the one of true honor. It means the one of might. How do I interact with Aziz? I humble myself before Aziz. I humble myself before Aziz. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said to Umar ibn Khattab, "Man ta'azza, whoever seeks honor through people, adallahullah. Allah will disgrace you." As a ummah, we don't seek honor through anyone except Allah. That's why. That's how we connect to Aziz. Man kana yuridu al-izza, falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. Allah says, whoever wants honor, whoever wants might and honor, falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. Then all might and honor comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Izzah is from Allah. And that's something as a ummah that we want now more than ever is izzah. Oh Allah, give us izzah, give us honor. But you don't get honor except you know who the one who is Aziz. And you humble yourself to Aziz. And you know he is the one that truly is Aziz. Jalla Jalalahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to connect to these names, understand these names, see the balance of these names. Al-Hakim. How do you connect to Hakim? No matter what happens, you don't get into the job you want it, the school you want it, the whatever you want it. And those moments, you have to remember who Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. all wise. Nothing is happening except through the wisdom of God, except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, everything. Right now we're going through something so difficult for the ummah. How do you psychologically and spiritually get through this moment? Al-Aziz al-Hakim. The wisdom and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move forward. Huwa al-awwalu. Sorry. Lahul mulku samawati wal-ard. To him belongs the kingdom, the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Ironically, having just gone through this political shift, power and kingdom, who's in control, is something that's on everyone's mind. But as Muslims, we have this deeper understanding of power and control. Lahul mulku samawati wal ard. True dominion belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never forget that. Yuhyi wa yumit. He gives life and he gives death. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And he is able to do all things. Qadir. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa al-awwalu. This is a verse, subhanAllah. This beginning of Surah Al-Hadid, I love it because all of these names of Allah are coming together at one time. We just looked at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aziz, Almighty. We looked at the name of Allah, Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. Together, they remind us that His might is there with His wisdom as well. And now we move forward. Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-batin. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. Huwa al-awwalu. He is the first. Before everything, nothing is before him. Meaning his everything else, it has dependent existence. Everything is dependent upon him. There is nothing prior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is first, nothing is before him. For me, the way I connect to that, in the morning when I wake up, huwa al-awwalu. Huwa al-awwalu. When you first wake up, what's the dua you read? Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa al-awwalu. And as I'm ending the day, huwa al-akhiru. Alhamdulillah alladhi. Ahyana ba'da ma tama wa ilayhi nushur. And when we go to sleep, bismillah yamutu ahya. Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is before everything. Allah is after everything. He is the last. There's nothing before him. There's nothing after him. Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhir. Wa huwa al-zahir. Last, I want to talk about this. What does it mean, huwa al-akhiru? He is the last. Imam Ghazali, he says that when you're seeking knowledge, the last stage of knowledge is when you know Allah. Huwa akhir, he, reaching him, is the last level of your knowledge. That's the last stage. Of all the knowledge of deen you'll ever get, is you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the goal of all knowledge. Huwa al-akhir, huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru. وَهُوَ ظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. This is a heavy one. The word ظَاهِر and بَاطِن are heavy. ظَاهِر, it means manifest. ظَاهِر is like when something is clear everywhere. So it's as if everywhere you look, without any misunderstanding, but everywhere you look, you see the signs of God. So wherever you turn, you're seeing the signs of Allah in everything. When you develop that in your heart, you see Him everywhere. وَهُوَ الظَّاهِرُ هُوَ الظَّاهِرُ وَهُوَ الْبَاطِنُ. Now this is the crazy part. Baatin is the opposite of ظَاهِر. And baatin means that which is hidden. Like the deeper you go baatin. ظَاهِر is outside, baatin is internal. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to read this dua. He used to read this dua. He used to say, Allahumma, Lord of the heavens and the earth, Lord of the throne. Rabba kulla shay, Lord of everything, the one who sent down the Torah and Injil and the Quran, the one who splits the seed. La ilaha illa ant. A'udhu bika, I seek refuge with you from every evil thing out there. And then he would say, Antal awwalu. O Allah, antal awwal, you are first. Laysa qabalaka shay'un, there's nothing before you. Wa anta ya Allah al akhiru. Laysa ba'taka shay. I want to stop here for a moment. The Sahaba used to sit down whenever they felt their iman getting rusty. This surah is called Hadid. And one of the common themes of this surah is that as time goes on, you start to get rusty. Your iman starts to get rusty. So the sahaba, they used to sit down together and they used to say, Ta'al nu'min sa'atan. They used to say, yo, Mu'az, come on, let's sit down. Let's believe for a little bit. They used to say, yo, come, let's sit down. Abdullah, come, let's sit down. Let's believe. Jaddid imanana. Let's refresh our faith. How do we refresh the faith? It's about talking about Allah. It's about remembering who Allah is. A lot of us, if we were to sit down and we were to break out into groups and I was just like, yo, bro, talk to your partner about Allah, we wouldn't know what to say. The Quran is connecting us to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the Rasul in this dua, he's talking about the greatness of Allah. But we've made these things so adi, so normal. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used to say, Ya Allah, antal awwal, laysa qablaka shay. Ya Allah, you are first. There's nothing before you. Wa antal akhiru, laysa ba'daka shay. You are the last, Ya Allah, there's nothing after you. Nothing after you. When everything is destroyed, you will still exist. That's Allah. Wa anta dhahir. You are the manifest. Nothing is more apparent than you. Nothing is more there than you. Wa anta al-batin. And you are the most hidden. The deeper you go into anything, you'll find the signs of Allah in that thing. Yes, when you look at the mountain, you see Allah, the sign to God. But the deeper you go into each particle of that mountain, the deeper you go, the more you see signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa dunaka shay. Then he would say, faqdi anna ad-dayn. Oh Allah, remove any debt that we have. Wa aghnina min al-faqr. And oh Allah, remove us from poverty. Subbaha lillah. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is almighty. We seek might through him. We seek honor through him. Respond to the verses. As we're reading them, I want you to respond. If you hear the word, connect to that word. Hu al-azizu. He is almighty. He has all honor. What do you say when you hear that? Oh Allah, give me honor. Give this ummah honor, ya al-aziz. Hu al-hakimu. He is all wise. Oh Allah, I don't understand why we go through what we go through, but I know you're hakim, ya Allah. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. Oh Allah, I know the kingdom belongs to you. I know all of the dominion of the heavens and earth belongs to you, ya Allah. Give me dominion over my own nafs. Give me control over my own nafs. Yuhyi wa yumit. You know, whenever we read the verses yuhyi wa yumit, we always think of physical life and physical death. But the Quran, and especially Surah Al-Hadid, speaks about a different type of life and death. The death of the heart and the life of the heart. Sometimes the hearts die. We can't cry anymore. We can't connect. We feel dead in our hearts. Allah reminds us, yuhyi wa yumit. He gives life. He gives death. So when I read yuhyi wa yumit, I say, oh Allah, give my heart life. Give my heart life. Give my heart life. Wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has power over everything. Huwa al-awwalu, ya Allah, I begin everything with you. You're before everything. You're my first priority before everything. Antal awwal. Huwa al-akhiru. Wal-akhiru. He is the last. He's after everything. He's the first and the last. Wal-dhahiru. He's the apparent. I see him in everything around me. Wal-batin. And the deeper I go, he is the hidden, meaning the deeper I go. One of the scholars, they said that dhahir, yani they quoted the verse, aqraba. He's closer to you than your jugular vein. He's closer to you than your jugular vein. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And it is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that knows everything. When you're going through hardship, if the one who has, in order to truly trust in someone, there's three qualities they have to have. They have to have compassion. They have to know what you're going through. And they have to have the ability to remove it. Allah reminded us in this verse, who he was. He says, I am Qadir. I have the ability over everything. And then what did he remind us right now? Alim, I know what's going on. I'm aware of everything happening. Nothing is happening without me knowing it. So that's why we know it's his hikmah. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. He is the one that created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So coming from Christianity, the reason these verses always hit me is because we had read this in the Bible, that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. But the Bible says something really weird after that. Because on day seven, he rested. And so this was something I learned as a Christian for how many years, that he rested. And then when I opened the Quran comes differently. The Quran doesn't take me to another space completely. It keeps me on the same track, but it corrects the misunderstanding. Because in Surah Al-Qaf, it says, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. He created the heavens and the earth. He says, I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And no tiredness even touched me. The scholars, they say, why 7 days? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kun fayakun. They say because he wanted to teach his insan to do things in order. He wanted to teach us to be deliberate, to teach us to schedule your time, to teach you to plan. He could have did it in one moment. But they said he rattabahu, he put it in order. Why? To teach you this is the proper way for your life to be. Put things in order. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. He is the one that created the heavens, Khaliq of the heavens and the earth. I was telling Qalam students, yo, you know what y'all gotta do? You know what we slacking on? You know that Netflix joint with the planet, my earth planet, what's it called? Planet Earth. Yo, y'all got, yo, homework for next halakha, y'all. Planet Earth, yo. Real low key, I'm not even joking. We have become so accustomed, we're so city folk, we're so disconnected with this world that we forgot to see how amazing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the creation. And it's funny, I have a memory of my grandfather who passed away many years ago. This was back in the day of the old TVs, man, like old school joints. When cable, people had cable, I don't know, whatever. He used to watch Discovery Channel all the time. And I was young, I'd be like, yo, can you turn the cartoons on something? And it'll be like the old, you know, the cheetah is about to approach. You know what I'm saying, right? You know what I mean? And I used to just be like, yo, why is like granddad watching this, yo? Like, what's he getting out of this? And maybe I'm unk now, but you know what I mean? Is that the problem? I'm unk? Okay, anyways. We need to reconnect to the beauty of God's creation, the khalq as-samawati wal-ard. And we're throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, I need you to look at the sign of me. And we're saying, I don't see Allah. And I'm saying, the Quran is saying, just look out there. Look at what is created. But here's the problem. We've seen it so much that we made it adi. We made it normal. We made it normal. We made it as if it's something normal, but it's not normal. It's a miracle every time it happens. So what does he say? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. In 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. And then he established himself on his throne of dominion. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is the Discovery Channel. He knows everything that enters into the earth. Every seed, every grain, every drop of water. Allah knows that. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And every plant that comes from the earth. Every plant that comes from the earth. Everything that comes out. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And all of the rain and the hail and the snow, all that comes down, he's aware of every drop of it. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And he knows what ascends through it. And what ascends are your actions. The angels take your actions up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us he's aware of everything happening. Never for a moment think that Allah is ghafil, unaware of what's happening. And here's the verse. Please listen closely. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you, أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, wherever you're at. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you're at. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ. When Moses got to the Red Sea, and he was being chased by Pharaoh, his people around him said, "Inna la mudrakun," we're caught now. He said, "No, kella inna ma'iya rabbi." He said, "My Lord is with me." When the prophet reached the cave with Abu Bakr and they were there and they were being chased and they were hiding in that cave, you know the story all too well. Abu Bakr said, "We're caught." The prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "No, inna allaha ma'ana." Allah is with us. The quality of the purpose of dhikr, the purpose of remembering Allah, is to create this idea within your heart, this idea of ma'iyya with Allah. Ma'iyya, what is the word ma'iyya? In Arabic, ma'a means with. This withness with Allah. This idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me in my hardest moments. Allah is always with me in every moment. He's aware of what I'm going through and He's there with me. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was taught towards the end of his life. 1 year before he passed away, the angel Gabriel came and asked him, "What's ihsan? What is ihsan?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ." The level you have to reach with your dhikr is that you worship Allah as if you see Allah. That witness. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you can't see him, know he's watching you. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. He's being dragged through the sand. What is he saying? Ahad, ahad, ahad. Why? Witness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Witness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Ta'if, stoned, covered in blood, collapses. But what does he do? Right away, he's making dua. He knows Allah is with him. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. The greatest impact of dhikr of Allah, being in a state of remembrance of God, is that you reach a state where you realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. And that's what this verse climaxes as. It says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And He is with you wherever you are. Wherever you are. Whatever difficulty you're in. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Ibn Taymiyyah, he was locked up in prison. And he used to say, "What can my enemies do to me? If they put me in jail, I have khalwa with Allah. I have time alone with Allah. If they kill me, I'm a martyr for Allah. What can they do to me?" The time of growth for Malcolm X was in jail. He was by himself. But he wasn't by himself. Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. I say that just because there's a lot of people that listen to this halakha every week who are actually in prison. And so they'll resonate with what I'm saying. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. Don't matter where you're at right now. If your heart is with Allah. There's a narration by Ahmed bin Hanbal in his Kitab al-Zuhd, where Musa asks a question about how to get close to Allah. Musa asks a question, "Ya Allah, how do people get close to you?" And Allah says to Moses, "Ana jalisu man dhakarani." I'm sitting with the person who remembers me. "Ana jalisu," I'm with you if you're remembering me. I'm with you if you're remembering me. Where our hearts connected to? You could be at work, you could be on the job, you could be in the most difficult situation or the easiest situation or the most beautiful, but your heart is connected to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Wa huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. That ma'iyya, that concept of Allah being with me, is the goal of all of our lives. That's the goal, to have that idea that Allah is always with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you do, sees. Basir, He's watching. He's watching what you do. That works two ways, yo. You know, when you're doing a good job, you hoping the boss is watching. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you be grinding at work and don't nobody be there. You be like, "Dang, man, I wish they could see what I'm doing right now." And sometimes we're slacking, and knowing the boss is watching will keep us on track. So depending on whatever state you are, Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Some of us are grinding on our deen right now. The advice to you, Allahu bima ta'maluna basir. Allah sees what you're doing. Some of us are slacking. We need to realize Allah is watching. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Lahum, we're almost done. Just two more verses. Allah repeats. Why is there repetition? You know, repetition in the Quran, it's not, there's a function to it. Whenever I was running with these brothers, mashallah, we used to speak to ourselves while we're running. I would mention the gym again, but they're getting too hyped. They think that, you know what I mean? We used to run and we used to say things over. You got this. You got this. Because those affirmations, we want that to be a reality in our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't repeat just for no reason. The repetition is so that idea becomes more firm within your heart. What does he repeat now? Something we just read above. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. To him belongs the dominion of the heavens and earth. No one's in control except him. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. Wa ila Allahi turja'ul umur. And everything will go back to Allah. All of the dhulm, all of the oppression, all of the difficulties, everything will go back to Allah. Wa ila Allahi turja'ul umur. What do we say when someone dies? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's all coming back to Allah. In this verse, what does he say? Wa ila Allah, and to Allah, turja'ul umur. Everything is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last verse. That's beautiful because it depends on what state you're at. If you're the victim of oppression, إِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, إِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. It's all going back to Allah. Allah is keeping count of everything. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. I told y'all, you got to watch Discovery Channel, bro. You got to, yo. Don't sleep. I'll try my best to paint this beautiful picture. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. He causes the night to enter into the day. And he causes the day to enter tonight. You know, the most beautiful things of God's creation are where two opposite things meet together. You go to the beach, why? Because water meets land. You look at the horizon, why? Because the sky meets the earth. And you look at it and you go, SubhanAllah. But one of the most beautiful moments of God's creation where two things mix is day and night. We all go and watch sunrises and sunsets because it's a beautiful moment of God's creation. It's a beautiful moment when you're witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment. Never again will it be just like this moment you just saw. I had one scholar, they say, like, you know, remember when your mom used to wake you up for Fajr, right? You bust in the door, kick the lights on. A sudden change is blinding, it hurts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this method of transition. The most beautiful method of transition from day to night and night to day. I remember one day I was sleeping at my grandmother's house, y'all. We weren't Muslim, right? But it was morning time, time for breakfast. And she came in the room and she rubbed my back. Makaire, she just rubbed my back. And she's like, Michael? That southern little, time to wake up. And I just woke up. Hey, Grandma. Hey, Grandma, wow. It's time for breakfast. I was like, it was like a movie, you know what I mean? I'm used to mom, you, boy, get up. Turn the lights on. Light, all of a sudden dark to light. It's blinding, it hurts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to see my greatness, come to those things where the opposites meet and I'll show you greatness. I'll show you that. Moments of birth coming into the world, beautiful moment. Water and land coming together, beautiful place. We all go there. The horizon, and Allah says, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. He causes the day to enter to the night and the night to enter the day. It's not a mundane thing, it's a beautiful thing. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And because this surah is going to talk about true believers, Allah says, I need y'all to focus on something. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows everything that's in your heart. Listen, we wonder how vile actions can happen, right? A lot of us wonder, like, how could, like, such crazy actions happen? It all starts in the heart. If you don't protect your heart, you don't know where your actions will end up. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ is heavy because it teaches us, it's not about whether you do the action or not. Allah teaches us, check your thoughts first. That thought you're having right now, Allah, huwa alim. Allah is aware of that thought.
Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah, forgive me. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah.
If you check your thoughts, how would your actions be? Beautiful, exactly. Beautiful. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that which is in the chest. And because this surah is about to talk about those believers who believed but they were weak and they had started slacking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what's going on in your heart. Check your heart. Don't just sit there and think about anything. Watch that heart, because I'm watching that heart.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us to His book. It's my hope to finish this surah in about 5 or 6 sessions, maybe. It's not a very long surah, inshallah ta'ala. So hopefully 5 or 6 sessions. And the hope is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to connect to this meaning. After the halakha is over, go back, look at the verses, read them in English, recite them over and over again, connect to them, understand them, reflect on them, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your heart, inshallah. May Allah give us the realization that He is with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization that He is with us. May Allah allow us to connect to these names of His. Allah loves to be called by His names. Al-Azizu. At a time where this ummah needs honor, call Him by this name. When you're going through a hardship that you don't understand why you're going through it, what's the name you call on? Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim. I don't understand it. Al-Hakim. Wal-Awwalu. He's our first priority. Akhiru. He's the end of our knowledge. Zahir. We see Him in everything, hidden. The deeper you go, the more signs of Him you find. May Allah give us connection to His names and attributes. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.